I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful for what He's done for us, coming to live in this world and instruct us that we might hear His voice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we just thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We ask Your blessing upon this time together. We ask Your blessing upon our lives, Father, that You would help us to hear Your voice, that You would fill us with Your Spirit, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to Your Word. Lead us where You would have us go today. Again, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to begin with a verse many of the boys used today, Proverbs 12. Verse 1 says, "He who loves instruction loves perception, but he who hates correction is without discernment. He who finds grace from the Lord becomes better, but a lawless man will be passed over in silence." Verse 1 there, it says, "He who loves instructions loves perception." I want to take that verse, and what is perception? What is perception? Perception is being able to understand a situation, maybe not as it appears, but you can see through it. You can see what really is happening. That's perception. He who loves instruction loves perception. Someone who wants to be instructed, who wants to hear from the Lord, is looking, listening to hear from the Lord. And someone looking and searching, the Bible says, to seek after Me and you'll find Me. Search for Me and you'll find Me. Knock and it'll be open. Someone looking for instruction is someone that will love being able to see through something when it comes at them. I want to go to Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than all the wild animals the Lord God made on the earth. And He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the tree of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not die by death. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods.'" "Knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes and a tree beautiful to contemplate, she took the fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of the two were opened, and they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Okay. Perception. That's what the promise is. A man who loves correction will love perception. The reason we need perception is because there's a devil in this world that's sowing deceit At every hand, every opportunity he can. I want to, the Bible talks about to know the ways of the devil, knowing how he operates. And here we have the first picture we have of him is how he operates. I want to notice there, the first thing that he said to Eve, did he lie to her? Did he just tell her a lie? The very first thing he said. No. It was a lie what he said, but that's not the way he said it. He said it, he repeated the question, "You shall not eat the tree of the garden." Has God indeed said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the garden"? What he did was he put a question there. He just put a question and let her think about it. All he did was planted a seed of deception. See, if the devil just came out and told you everything that he was planning or everything he was going to do, no one would believe it. If he just comes straight up at you and just tells you something, no one would believe it. No one would do it. No one would listen to him. But when he comes, that's not the way he comes. He knows that no one would pay any attention to him. He comes very cunningly. And all he has to do is put a question in your mind. And you know what happens from there? Your mind takes over and it just works on that question, listening to what Satan said, and it grows and it grows and it grows. See, that's all he has to do, is put that question there. And all we have to do is entertain that question. And then he can just go away. And we will just take that question and just, our minds will go with it and just take it wherever it will lead us. So all he has to do is just put that doubt there. Put that question there. And we take over. And our minds take over. He doesn't even have to bother us anymore. He just plants his seed and goes. Does that with many ways in our lives. He puts a thought in our mind. Just puts a thought in our mind, a question. And that gets our mind to thinking about it. And that gets our mind to questioning and going. And it just goes and goes and goes and goes. The way that we have power over Satan is recognizing, having the perception to realize who put that question there. You know, like I said, if he just came out and told us to do something wrong, most of the time, we just wouldn't even listen to him. But whenever he begins to put doubts there or questions about what's right or and causes us to think about things, then we take over and he doesn't even have to do anything. Catch it at the beginning. Loving instruction loves perception. And so that we can perceive, wait a minute, I can't go down that road. And so we stop it right there. And we have the power to do that. If we want to, if we choose to, we can stop those thoughts. Recognize, perceive that those thoughts are not from God. Then we can turn to the Lord and listen for Him. Listen to His voice. And he'll plant the same idea. See, that's one of the things that everybody wants God to tell them what to do. But God and the devil use the same methods, one for good and one for evil. Satan plants a seed and you take it and run with it for evil. When you seek the Lord, he's not going to just give you the answer you're looking for. People are looking for this answer to have everything all completed. When they miss, they do not perceive that God just gives them a little seed. And they can go with it. And just go and go for good, just like you can go and go for bad. We can use this. We see it. People can put doubts. The devil just sows a doubt to you about your parents, children. All he has to do is just sow a little. Your mom don't know what she's talking about. Your dad, he don't know anything. He don't really understand. He don't understand you. All he is mean to you. He just, he won't let me have any fun. He just makes me do all kinds of things. Where do those doubts come from? Where do you think those doubts come from? Do you think you just dreamed them up because your dad's mean? No. They come from the devil. And you know what happens? After he puts those seeds in there, then you begin to think. And you begin to think. And you begin to think. And pretty soon you've got all kinds of things imagination has created in your own mind that doesn't have anything to do with reality. That is not perception. That's deception. The biggest nation in the world is imagination. Because there's unlimited. It can just grow and grow and grow and grow. And all that has to be put in there is a little seed. Just like Satan planted a little seed with Eve and she ran with it. You know, sometimes we say that people don't have any common sense. They don't think anymore. And that's not what I'm talking about. Because people don't do that very often. What they do think about is seeds that they shouldn't be thinking about. And that just grows and grows and grows and keeps their mind upset all the time because their mind just keeps on running. It just keeps on going and just keeps on going. But it wasn't there from God. That's not the thinking whenever someone tells you to think a moment, to think a little bit. That thinking is not to sit and dwell and think on your problems. That thinking that people tell people or that we would say, use your head or think about it, is not running after those things, but to stop running after those things and listen to what is right. That's where thinking needs to come in. And that's where the perception comes in. The fall of man came because the devil planted a question about God. We can do the same thing, whether it's our parents, our friends, our elders. Somebody just comes up and just says a little something about someone else. Where does your mind go with that? Pretty soon, you've painted them out to be just the devil himself. Just because somebody planted a little seed. Satan knows how our minds work. He knows how they work. And he can use them. The perception comes being able to recognize him and his ways. That this is not from God. Doesn't matter how holy the setting you have. If Satan is the one putting the doubts and the questions about other people in your mind and you're following them, that's what causes all kinds of destruction in the world. That's how wars are started. All he needs to do is to find someone that's been hurt. You know, there's a lot of different groups in the world that are victims. And some manipulating person can come along and play on those feelings of emotion. Those feelings of you being a victim. And oh, it just feels so nice that someone understands you. And someone knows where you're coming from. And you just listen to them. And you just begin to nurse those feelings. And you begin to nurse that wounded pride. And you begin to nurse those things that someone said about you. And they just grow and grow and grow and grow. Pretty soon you just hate them for what they've done to you. And in reality, they may have not done anything to you. They may have just had a bad day and looked the other way whenever you thought they ought to waved at them. And the devil comes along and says, boy, he just gave you the slight. He must not like you because you're the wrong color. He must not like you because you're not the right weight. He must not like you because he don't like the way you dress. And it just goes on and on. And then you begin feeling sorry for yourself. And then the music starts to play. The pity party anthem. And you begin to think, oh, poor me. Poor me. Poor me. That guy's mean to me. He hurt me. And you just let that grow and grow and grow. That's how wars get started. But perception steps back. And that's what all this is about, this book of Proverbs. It's just having wisdom to not believe everything you see and everything you hear. You don't have to live pie in the sky and say, oh, everything's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. I'm sure he didn't mean it. Oh, it's just great. That you don't have to do that. But you can step back and just say, really? I've got enough to take care of myself. I've got enough to mind my own business, and we're going to let things play out to see how it really, really works. We don't have to get caught up in a mob. That's what causes wars. We can talk about being non-resistant all we want and have the same mob mentality, the same spirit mentality that the people are over there killing each other are doing. There's only two spirits in the world. There's the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of the world. There's the spirit of Satan. And he talks. And if we're listening to him, I don't care if you're living on a mountain and never had a bad thought in your life. Never sinned, never done anything that anybody would think of sin. If we're listening to the devil, we're listening to him. You know, the more holy a person is, the less the devil's going to actually bother them. They're not going to have to worry about things like that because he's already got them. He doesn't have to hurt them. He can just let them go on. Hearing is what perception is about. Seeing is what perception's about. And how much of the Bible talks about hear wisdom. Get instruction. Gain knowledge. And I'm not talking about the worldly kind. I'm talking about the knowledge of the ways of good and evil. Truly the good ways. So that we can perceive and choose the good. These books are... Proverbs 12 again. Verse 16. By the fruits of his mouth, the soul of a man will be filled with good things, and the recompense of his lips will be given to him. The ways of undiscerning men are right in their own eyes, but a wise man hearkens to counsels. A man without discernment immediately proclaims his wrath, but an astute man hides his own dishonor. A righteous man declares his honesty openly, but the witness of the unrighteous is deceitful. There are those who wound with a sword as they speak, but the tongue of the wise heal. Truthful lips establish a testimony, but a hasty witness has an unrighteous tongue. There is deceit in the heart of a man who devises evil things, but those whose counsel peace shall be glad. Nothing unrighteous will ever be pleasing to the righteous, but the ungodly will be filled with evil things. Just some of these counsels here and ideas that if we will, we can hear them. If we love instruction, we can hear them. How many times? I mean, this just, how many times have I been so quick to say things? Just thinking in my own life, how many times have I been so quick with a sharp tongue that hurt people? But the fruit of the righteous brings healing. But the fruit of the righteous brings healing. We can learn from this. Sometimes we have the idea that we've spent so much time just nobody saying anything true in churches. Just people just filling people with all kinds of false hopes and false ideas. And it's just, there's been times we just wish for a prophet. Someone would just come and just say the truth. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's right and it is needed. But the prophet needs to make sure that what he's saying is with discernment and with wisdom. And not just flying off the handle, showing that he can say mad and strong things just because it seems like that's what's needed at the time. It takes wisdom to handle the truth. Because truth without wisdom hurts people. And there's no healing in it. It just cuts and tears up and destroys. And I know there's no way that these two, light and darkness, can ever be reconciled. But our part in that is to speak words that truly heal. And they may be sharp words and they may be hard words. But it takes real courage to say those things, not just in an anger or in a rash, just shooting off loud, just shooting your mouth off. A man without discernment immediately proclaims his wrath. But an astute man hides his own dishonor. We need perception. That's what I'm saying. We need understanding. Like I say, in zeal sometimes for just the lack of anybody standing up or anybody caring about anything, we just are attracted to that zealousness. But that, even that, needs to be tempered with wisdom. The Lord, he said some hard things to people. And they were hard things that people needed to hear. But it was usually to people who weren't going to listen in the first place. You know, I've thought about that. You know, the people that are seeking perception can hear the slightest thing and see through it. And the people who are not can hear the sharpest, pointedest rebuke and it bounce right off of them. We've got to be careful that we know whenever we're speaking to somebody that the words that I'm saying are to someone that wants to hear it. They don't have to be as sharp. They don't have to be as sharp. Sometimes we think that everything we have to say is sharp, but it doesn't. The sharpness belongs to the Pharisees, like Jesus talked about, the scribes, the religious know-it-alls that had it all worked out. He had no kind words for them. It was sharp. But those sinners that were broken only had the tenderest words for. And they heard them, and the others didn't. In Revelation, chapter 2, just to reiterate a little bit of what I'm saying, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, whenever Jesus talks about someone having an ear, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. And what is he talking about when he's talking about having an ear? It's someone who is listening to God. It's someone who is loving instruction, wanting to be drawn nearer to God, listening to what he's saying. It's not just someone wants to hear, God will save me, and I'm going to heaven. Nothing about that. He's instructing the church, and he's saying, he that has an ear, let him hear. Him will I give the right to the tree of life, where the promises are. He who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who overcomes. Not he who just got saved once. Not he who was baptized once. He who has ears to hear. Not he who was religious as all get out. But he who actually has ears. The perception to hear God. Chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone and a new name written on a stone, which no one knows, but he who receives it. Here again, looking for those that are listening, looking for those who have this perception. Verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times in these two or three chapters here, Jesus ends what he says, when he gives instruction. He says, he that has an ear. That's what the whole Bible is about. We're in a dark world, a Satan-controlled world. And God is speaking in this world. Darkness all around, storms all around, troubles all around. But God is speaking in this world. Clouds, dimness, darkness, noise of every kind. God is speaking in this world. And he who has an ear to hear him will be received by him. He who has an ear to hear Him will have right to the tree of life. This is what the Lord is saying. He's looking for people who will come out and listen to Him. Not just follow the crowd, but to hear His voice. Many people use the words listening to counsel. That means getting the whole group of people and all of them agreeing together, and that's who I'm going to listen to because they're smart. No. Sometimes listening to counsel is listening to the one that not everybody else is agreeing with. It's the perceived counsel, the wise counsel that he's talking about, not the mob counsel, not the feeling counsel, not the touchy-feely, all upset counsel. It's the counsel of hearing his voice. Like I said, just like the devil uses just a question, just a doubt here or there, God just plants a seed too. Follow that counsel. It won't have it all played out. It won't have it all laid out. It won't have the end result handed to you on a silver platter. Just like Satan won't tell you the dangers. Satan won't tell you straight up what to do. He just plants a seed and lets you run with it. Because it is us that choose to sin. We're just taking a little guidance from Him, planting our seed. Then we're responsible for ourselves. In the same way, hearing His voice, we're responsible for that. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Possible dangers necessarily, but to overcome through it.
Mm-hmm.